Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson filling in for Chris Canty on this Christmas week. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Amber, no surprise, as we gave out the first of our week of Christmas lists, the top four Christmas songs, or in your case, the top five-ish that we snuck in there because we were bound by four and you didn't need to play by our rules here, which I appreciate. I've already gotten some submissions here, Amber. I want to read you these and tell me what you think, because I think there's one. You like the classics. We know this from your list. Sam Spencer tweets into the show. For him, the top four on this one would be a tie for fourth, Christmas Canon by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Those guys know how to party. That is definitely Christmas Canon in this one. Number three, he had Feliz Navidad, which our producer Renee brought up here as something that we missed out on here, potentially a song that should have been included in all this. Number two, Last Christmas by Wham.
I've seen Last Christmas by Wham on several lists, and I can't place it in my mind. What is Last Christmas by Wham?
Last Christmas.
Oh,
I gave
course.
You my heart, and the very next day, you threw it away.
This person likes very peppy Christmas music. I think that's what we're learning from this list.
Peppy? This is a down song.
Peppy?
I gave you my heart, the next day you gave it away.
But the beat and everything, it still feels peppy to me, you know? They're happy that they gave it away, apparently.
You did me a... You know what? Maybe that's the way we should spin it. We need the modern remake of this where it's the self-love one where, you know what? They did me a favor. That person is toxic, and I don't need their energy in my life because I value and care about myself. Now, as a part of our Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance, we bring in our ESPN sports betting analyst, Tyler Foljam, on the Goodyear Hotline. Tyler, where are you at on Last Christmas by Wham as a top-tier Christmas song?
I think it's a deserving contender. It's not personally on my Mount Rushmore, though you will find it on my collection of burned Christmas CDs. I will share with you, even though you didn't ask, my top four. Because who doesn't want to have their lists be heard and then wrecked by all? NSYNC, Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday.
Because
politically,
yes!
they didn't just wish you a Merry Christmas. They said Happy Holidays in case you celebrate Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, or you are someone who doesn't celebrate, just being off work maybe. So the fact that NSYNC was able to, incorporate and be inclusive with as many groups of people, not just those that celebrate Christmas. I do think the Trans-Siberian Orchestra belongs on the Mount Rushmore. It just reminds me of the movie Home Alone. It reminds me of Christmas movies in the dark and thinking of like Santa rushing around from rooftop to rooftop to make everything happen. I'd be remiss if we did not throw Mariah Carey All I Want for Christmas Is You on there. It can become cumbersome during the holidays, but it is a classic. I mean, sometimes you just got to play the hits. And I believe this is like the third year in a row where All I Want for Christmas got back to number one on the Billboard Top 200. So like 30 years later, it's still slapping to get to number one. And then personally, my favorite, I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus.
Ooh.
Because I like when mama's being naughty. Okay. If you got a naughty mama, that means you're probably a little fun yourself. And mama's out there smooching with Santa Claus, I mean, for what was that song made in the 50s or 60s? That was kind of racy for back in the day. And I appreciate the progressive look at empowerment for women, that mama's out there smooching Santa Claus.
I don't have enough time or therapy license to unpack what all of this means right now.
I'm just impressed Tyler was so ready for this segment.
That is true. Yeah. Do you just walk around with that list?
Hey, those who are not ready, how's it go? If you're not ready to prepare, you're preparing to fail. That's the saying, right?
That sounds like the saying, and I'm going to go with it. If you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. Tyler
Foljam,
our ESPN sports betting analyst and ESPN radio host, always prepared when it comes to the important topics here. Tyler, speaking of important topics, we got two Monday Night Football games because of what's gone on with the COVID-19 postponements of some of these NFL games. So we've got Browns and Raiders that just really, I believe, just kicked off right now before we get the nightcap then involving the Chicago Bears. So want to start with the Browns here. Nick Chubb back in the lineup. We know they're going to be on Nick Mullins, though, at quarterback. So is there any value to be had for the Browns in this matchup in your mind?
I think so. Talked to Mike Tannenbaum, our GM here at ESPN, on our bet show just about an hour ago. And Mike T was on the Browns as well, even with Nick Mullins at quarterback. He just thinks they're the better team. Las Vegas has gone through so much emotionally as a team this season. Now they're down Darren Waller and key players all over the place. The Browns, despite not having, you know, their top two quarterbacks, even turning to Mullins, still rely on a scheme that is kind of like, okay, plug and play a quarterback. Nick Mullins, turn around and hand the ball off 32 times to Nick Chubb and let Nick Chubb run through that Las Vegas Raiders defense. I think if that's the game plan that the Browns adopt, they can win outright as a three-point dog, a low-scoring game where Chubb just, you know, runs for 152 yards and two touchdowns on 30 carries. So the game's already started. You can't really – you'd have to be live betting now. The prop market is probably closed. I was going to say Nick Chubb over 80.5 rushing yards or Nick Chubb over 17.5, 18.5 carries. But now you just got to look at the live market. I do think it's going to be a low-scoring game, though, so – I'm either under or pass, and the live number right now is 40.5, very, very early in the game.
ESPN sports betting analyst and ESPN radio host Tyler Fulgham joining us here on Canty and Golic Jr. Amber Wilson filling in for Chris Canty. So, Tyler, let's talk about the game tonight that we thought we were going to have all along. Chicago has won 5 of the last 6 games in its rivalry here with Minnesota, but it feels like the Vikings have all the momentum headed into this one. The Bears have lost 7 of 8. Is there any action here to be had with the Bears at +6.5? And also, give me something for the Vikings.
Yeah, actually, the Bears now are 7-point underdogs, and I think that provides even better value. Obviously, 7 is a key number in NFL. That's a spread that is often landed on with scoring, obviously one team with a touchdown more than the other. So with the Bears now from 6.5 to 7-point dogs, I love Chicago in the spot at home. The total is rocketing up. It's at 47 right now, and I think you could still maybe go over that. But the reason I like the Bears here, let's start with Minnesota and Kirk Cousins. Guys, he's 1-9 straight up and 1-9 ATS in his career on Monday Night Football. This has been his bugaboo, this spot, for whatever reason. He's struggled. And Minnesota, doesn't it seem like to you guys that Minnesota is just a team, no matter who the opposition is, whether it's the best team in the NFL or the worst team in the NFL, they're going to play a tight game that comes down to the last possession. Like, it doesn't matter somehow, some way, Kirk Cousins, the Mike Zimmer and that Minnesota team just figures out a way to make games either unnecessarily or necessarily close, depending on the level of competition they play. So they should beat the Bears, but this game is in Chicago. Justin Fields looked pretty good in his first game back against the Packers last week. The Bears' secondary is ravaged by missing bodies, and I'll get to the way you can attack that on the Minnesota side. But Robert Quinn's been a beast this year. He can put pressure on Kirk Cousins, and Cousins just, by and large, has struggled in these spots. And Minnesota, as a favorite, the last 2 years, guys, Minnesota is 4-11 ATS. They do not handle being the favorite well. They play down to the level of their competition. So I think that trend continues. I'll also throw out that home underdogs are 5-0 ATS so far on Monday night. But that, of course, you know, doesn't necessarily apply to the Bears, as all those teams are different. Just saying, that's a trend. On the Minnesota side, though, with literally every single starting member of the Bears defensive backfield out, and Adam Thielen likely missing this game. I'm seeing that he's going to test out his ankle and see if he can get out there. But shouldn't Justin Jefferson just absolutely eat in this matchup? 94.5 receiving yards was the last line I saw for his prop. I'd go over that. The dude's averaging almost 12 targets per game over his last 5 contests. There's no one on really any team except for 1 or 2 maybe in the NFL that has a prayer of trying to slow down Justin Jefferson. There's certainly no one on this Bears team with what they're going through in their secondary who can slow down Justin Jefferson, especially if Thielen's out again. He should be fed, and he should absolutely eat.
Canty and Golic Jr., we only got about a minute left here, Tyler, but I'd be remiss. Okay. We got Tuesday night football tomorrow here, the Washington football team in Philly and the Rams Seahawks. A bit of an oddity here, a little bit of action in the NFL here. Anything you like with the point totals in these two?
Yeah, I'll make it quick. I'm going to play the over in Seattle and Los Angeles. I'm going to play the under in Washington and Philly. Seattle, back-to-back games with 30 points. Russ Wilson looking a little bit better, and we know Odell Beckham's getting integrated into Sean McVay's offense. I think there'll be some scoring in that domed environment. On the other side, that NFC East matchup, two teams that like to run the football, especially Philadelphia. That should suppress play volume, suppress scoring opportunities, as both teams have pretty good run defenses as well. So I think it's going to be a lower scoring game in the NFC East Tuesday night affair.
At Tyler underscore Foljam on Twitter is where you can find him. The Daily Wager and ESPN Radio is where you can hear and watch him. Tyler, we appreciate you as always. The enlightened Christmas list maker that you are.
Always. Happy holidays, everyone.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to Tyler Foljam and everyone else. That was brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. At Mike Golic Jr., at Amber W790 for your top Christmas songs. Let's see if you can top what Tyler Foljam laid out for us. Coming up next, though, how are we feeling about the Cowboys here? Continued inconsistency has some people asking questions about Big D down the stretch. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. Our thanks to Tyler Foljam for joining us. Not only get your pockets right, but getting us his top four Christmas songs of the week. We will be joined by Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, who has already made her submission for the top Christmas song. We will get to that in about 10 minutes here, Amber. But we're in an interesting spot this season where I can ask you this question and the answer be in doubt. Because the Dallas Cowboys got a win against the New York Giants this weekend, Amber, but it wasn't all that convincing to anyone. 21-6 against the Giants team that was starting Mike Glennon at quarterback, where Jake Fromm ultimately finished the game for that team. They've been hapless all year. And so much so that it prompted Dak Prescott to make a bet with DeMarcus Lawrence for the rest of the season. Dak Prescott bet DeMarcus Lawrence that the offense would score more touchdowns than the defense would have takeaways for the rest of the season. He said, quote, "They're kicking our ass right now." The defense has a 4-2 lead after this game, Amber. So how are you feeling about the Cowboys after another tepid performance this weekend?
Yeah, it's touchdowns versus takeaways created. It's unbelievable that this bet has started off this way. I think what's happening here with the Dallas Cowboys, because I've never seen so much negativity surrounding a team that's winning, but it is the Dallas Cowboys we're talking about. So first of all, that's kind of how we do things when we're talking about the Cowboys. And second off, I think what's happening this season is that we all expected this Dallas Cowboys team to win one way, and they're winning, but they're winning a completely different way than we expected them to be doing it. I mean, we thought that the success of the Cowboys was going to hinge on that high-powered, you know, highly talented offense, and lo and behold, it is hinging now on a defense that allowed a franchise record 473 points last year and is somehow turned into one of the best, or the best, according to some of the players on the Cowboys, even if the numbers don't necessarily bear it, best defenses in the entire NFL. And I don't know if it's a knock, though, on the Cowboys. If we really step back and we kind of calm ourselves for a minute about Dallas, is it really a bad thing that they're winning because their defense is performing so well? Because there seems to be a lot of panic here because of how they're doing the winning. And I think one could argue that maybe that's a good thing, because right now that offense is underperforming, but we know the talent is there and the skill is there for the offense, so maybe they can turn it around. And the defense has really surprised us, and that's a positive thing here moving into the postseason for the Dallas Cowboys.
Absolutely. Defense, by far the more volatile side of the football here, one that's hard to predict year to year. It's even more encouraging because the ones involved in it are so young, Amber. Trevon Diggs, relative of Stephon Diggs, had his 10th interception this weekend. Diggs and Micah Parsons are the first pair of teammates with 10 interceptions and 10 sacks, regardless of tenure in the league, since Antonio Cromartie and Sean Merriman did it in 2007 for the Chargers. Like, we're in uncharted territory with the way they've been able to go about this. And I actually agree with you. I think that's a great point, that the way we perceive the Cowboys makes it difficult, because I see their offense out there looking ordinary for the most part here. They can't bully people in the run game like they're used to. Even having the full complement of that two-headed monster in the backfield back for them, it isn't yielding that kind of production. While the wide receiver group that was supposed to be the threat we saw the first quarter of the seasons with Dak Prescott Amber, I ultimately think they're going to fall short of their goals this year if this keeps up for the offense here. The defense has been great, but I mentioned it's the far less predictive side of the ball for what we tend to see over the course of a long season. And I think when they get to the postseason with the kind of offenses they're going to have to see in the NFC on the top end, they're going to have to be able to put up points that I just don't think at this point, with how injured they are mostly, their offense is capable of.
But you're doubting Diggs and you're doubting the Micah Parsons of the world. And why are we doing that? Probably because that D is young and probably because they have been surprising us this season. But they have 31 takeaways. That's the most by a Dallas D defense since 2014. 23 interceptions as a team. That's the most since 1999. I mean, we are seeing things from the Dallas Cowboys that we have not seen in a very, very long time. And yes, it's not what we expected to see, but that doesn't take anything away from how good it has been on that side of the ball. So if this defense and if Dak can the offense and Dak can figure it out and start living up to the expectation, any semblance of the expectation that we had for them, I actually do think that the Dallas Cowboys are still a viable team here headed into the postseason, despite all the negativity right now around a Cowboys team that is winning down the stretch. Even if it's ugly, they're still getting the dubs.
They are. They're winning with defense, like you mentioned, Amber. This is great per stats and info. According to that bet, again, Dak Prescott betting DeMarcus Lawrence that the Cowboys offense would score more touchdowns than the defense had takeaways. They're down 4-2, four defensive takeaways versus two offensive touchdowns from this last game. Over the last three games, the Cowboys have 12 takeaways and five combined rushing and passing touchdowns. So they are getting boat raced by that defense, but to the tune of 10-4, works out pretty well. Coming up next, we'll figure out if that can lead to a Cowboys deep playoff run, and if the Browns, down 7-0 early to the Raiders in the first half of this Monday Night Football doubleheader, would be all but out of the playoffs with a loss tonight. We'll get to that after this word from Wendy's. Because right now, Wendy's, see, you can see what's all the hype's about with their new guaranteed hot and crispy fries. We're talking real natural cut potatoes, perfectly sprinkled in sea salt, and guaranteed to be hot and crispy down to the very last fry, or they'll replace them. These aren't just the typical fries you add to a meal. These are the fries worth adding a meal to. So abandon the old, cold, and soggy, and head over to Wendy's today, where you can get your fries guaranteed hot and crispy at participating U.S. Wendy's. Back with Mina Kimes next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
No surprise that in Christmas holiday radio week here, the songs have taken over my entire worldview here on Canty and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. We got NFL football doubleheaders right now. Tulsa's leading in the Myrtle Beach Bowl. Saw Marty and McGee down on the sideline wearing Christmas sweaters here. Amber, where are you at on Feed the World by Band-Aid as a Christmas song worth note?
Is that what we were just listening to? I'm
no.
scared to ask.
No.
Feed the World?
The Feed the World. It's like the one they did. Didn't they do that as like an actual like Feed the World, like holiday fundraiser type song?
Oh, well, now I feel like a terrible person. So thank you for that. Well, then obviously it's an excellent song if it's, you know, raising money for the world and for charity.
I say that. I have no idea. I'm just covering my bases on this,
You're
Amber.
You're setting me up for failure here, Mike. Sure, it's a great song. Excellent.
Best I came here under-researched for this one here. Someone we don't have to worry about that with is Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, who joins us now, always prepared. You can see her on NFL Live and listen to her on the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcasts. And Mina, before we get ourselves into any more trouble with songs that may or may not be about charity here, do you have a top Christmas song in the repertoire?
So Shannon asked me this, and I sent him what I thought might be a curveball, which is I really love the song Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Yeah, I feel like people don't give that answer a lot. Maybe I'm wrong, but whenever it comes on, I find myself like singing along, doing a little head bop kind of thing. It's definitely just about like having a good time at Christmas. It's like a lot of Christmas songs are kind of like about like love or are proud, like weird. And this one I feel like is just about having a nice time at Christmas, rocking around the Christmas tree, getting that sentimental feeling. And it's been remade a bunch of times, but I like the original by Brenda Lee.
You know what? I appreciate that, Mina, and we'll say what's on your heart here. Baby, it's cold outside. It's problematic. We've all had the conversation. Yeah. It's a weird listen at this point. I don't feel comfortable when it comes on. Some people have finally taken the liberty of making much more progressive versions, but we don't got to go there. So rocking around the Christmas tree feels good.
I also like Last Christmas, but that one's about love, and I don't know. I just wanted just a lighthearted
You just want to have a good time.
Exactly. I want to rock around the Christmas tree.
Mina wants to rock around the Christmas tree, and so we will allow that. And Mina, we talked about the good feelings and enjoying it there. It's kind of weird the circumstances that brought us to having two Monday night football games going on right now. We certainly don't like how we got here, but now we can't help but sit and be entertained by two NFL games going on Monday. We've got the Vegas Raiders and the Browns playing right now, Mina. The Browns down 7-0 early in this game. I mean, I know they're on Nick Mullins at quarterback, but with the AFC playoff picture being what it is, are they out with a loss today?
It's going to be challenging. It's the AFC North is so twisted, man. Like, you know, they're all playing each other, which makes it really hard to determine outcomes and probabilities based on any of these games just yet, because everything can still go a bunch of different ways. But this does feel like must win territory, especially given the opponent, and then they've got the divisional matchups coming up. But you know, the Ravens and the Bengals play next week, and that also feels like a loser goes home, but it might not be. To be honest, it really is going to come down to the wire, and also because bunch of these teams play the Chiefs, weirdly, but football-wise, I firmly believe, I don't think any of these teams is materially better than the other at this point. So we're kind of going off of schedule here, and right now the schedule is pretty complicated.
I mean, I want to make sure that I get your Seahawks perspective on this one. Obviously, we have a game rescheduled for Tuesday afternoon with the Seahawks and the Rams. And since it's been rescheduled after when it would have originally been played, the Seahawks have had to put their starting corner and starting right tackle and running back and D-end and some practice squad guys on the COVID-19 list, while the Rams have gotten back some stars, which of course was the original point of rescheduling this game. From the Seahawks' perspective then, how do you feel about this game being rescheduled? Because this seems like a decided disadvantage now that the Seahawks have also been dropping like flies in terms of the protocol.
Yeah, well, you know, for me, it's like everything happening right now is so unprecedented. There's so much uncertainty, and so much of it is beyond human control at this point that it's hard to develop strong opinions about any of the things that are happening to these teams. Seahawks fans, I can tell you, having just done Seattle radio about an hour ago, are not thrilled, as you can imagine. I think the biggest sort of point of comparison is the Rams regaining Jalen Ramsey, who is, of course, their number one cornerback, arguably the best cornerback in the NFL. And then the Seahawks finding out this weekend that they're losing DJ Reed, who is their best cornerback. They are really undergunned in the secondary. Of course, Jamal Adams is out as well. And I think unless they get Reed back, which is, of course, anything is possible, or maybe Tyler Lockett, this could get pretty ugly.
Ken Angola Jr. here talking to Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. Mina, Amber brought up before when we were talking about the Cowboys that part of this perception that they've been struggling as of late has to do with the fact that their identity changed so quickly from an offensive team to a defensive team. How confident are you in this team down the stretch based on the way that they've kind of flipped roles?
I think that's a great point. I also think it has to do with the fact that they were such a death star beginning of the season that we're still comparing this Cowboys offense to that offense, which at the time was the most efficient in the NFL. They're not terrible right now. They're just not one of the best units in the league, and they're underperforming to how they performed at the beginning of the season. A couple things jump out. You know, the run game has suffered a little bit. I think for a few reasons, there's been injuries, although Tony Pollard looked really great this weekend. Losing Blake Jarwin as a blocker matters. Some turnover on that offensive line at various points. And then Dak Prescott working his way back from injury is an issue. I thought he looked more comfortable this weekend, kind of climbing the pocket, still really not moving well and not as accurate throwing the ball down the field as he was at the beginning of the season. But if I was a Cowboys fan, I'd be encouraged by the fact that at least the offense looks better with each progressive week.
ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes on with us, Amber Wilson, filling in for Chris Canty here on Canty and Golic Jr. So, Mina, we saw Mac Jones look like a rookie in the first half of their game against the Colts. Was that game more about what the Pats didn't do or what the Colts did do?
I would say it kind of depends on what side of the ball you're talking about, to be honest. You know, I thought both defenses played well. It was kind of just a matter of, like, bad fortune in some ways for New England, because, you know, Carson Wentz really should have turned the ball over more than he did, and then Mac Jones did turn the ball over. I think the two teams, like, I actually kind of feel pretty similarly to how I felt about them going into the game as a result. Teams with very good defenses and then obviously very good run games. And the quarterbacks are different. I think with Wentz, it's more that you have the threat of, you know, the turnover and sort of the mistakes. With Jones, the question is, okay, well, can he play from behind and kind of throw you out of the game if the run game's not working? I thought he showed some glimpses of that in the second half, and I think as a Patriots fan, you'd probably be encouraged by that. But still, neither team really, to me, emerged as being significantly better than the other.
Check out Mina Kimes rocking around the Christmas tree with the crew on NFL Live 4 Eastern every Monday through Friday on ESPN. And download, subscribe, and rate the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcasts. Mina, have a great Christmas week. We'll talk to you soon. All right, bud?
Bye, guys.
We have a Monday Night Football doubleheader right now. That is a hot ticket. Hot tickets brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Coming up next, we've spent today talking about the MVP. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want to hear who your MVP is after a down week from Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Because coming up next, Vegas tells us there is a new favorite standing in the mountaintop. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
I don't know if this qualifies as Christmas baby making music, but Amber, if that were a genre, I am definitely in favor of it.
I don't know how big that genre would be. Like, this may be the only song in that category, but absolutely.
You're really threading a tight needle there. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson filling in for Chris Canty. Like, it's definitely a tough spot because I don't know if Christmas is inherently, like, sexy, I guess that would be the word for it there, but...
Well, tiny Santa costumes, you know, you little playful thing.
That is true.
Make it a little sexy, right? The problem with Christmas, the problem with holidays generally and sexiness, there's a lot of food involved in holidays, and I don't know how you feel after consuming a lot of food and Christmas cookies, but that's not necessarily my sexiest moment.
No, it is certainly not when I feel my most glowing. It is when I feel very warm, usually a little drunk, and mostly very, very full. So maybe not the combination, but we're working on it here, Renee. We're working on it.
On an empty stomach. Way to go.
On an empty stomach, certainly. Fine, great. But again, Christmas is about being full. It's about indulging, being around family and friends, and enjoying yourself, not having to worry about how you look for all those people. So spread holiday cheer. If Christmas is sexy for you, great. If Christmas is full, even better, because that's probably the way it should be. Now, Amber, we spent a lot of time early in the show talking about the MVP race in the NFL this year.
I was really waiting for you to make this transition and say something like, you know, speaking of sexy, Aaron Rodgers. Like, I was really hoping that's where you were going. You really missed an opportunity there.
Amber, I just can't with Aaron Rodgers right now and the haircut. Like, this is, as someone, when I heard someone call him throw dirt, I about lost my bleep. There, the Joe Dirt style haircut from Aaron Rodgers just doesn't do it for me here. There's a lot of good looking versions of Aaron Rodgers out there. I don't think this one is a choice that he has made. We've seen him make some questionable choices this fall, and this is probably one of them.
There has been many things about Aaron Rodgers that have been certainly, I guess, interesting, so to speak, this season. But apparently the MVP odds have now become interesting because of his play on the field. He has figured out, you got that transition, right?
Yes!
Boom!
There we go!
Radio!
Let's go! That is how we sexy Christmas into the MVP conversation, courtesy of our friends at Caesars. Aaron Rodgers is now the favorite to win the NFL MVP. He surpasses Tom Brady, who was way out in front of him heading into last week. Rodgers is now at plus 150 as the favorite. Brady at plus 170, followed by Mahomes at plus 900. And Jonathan Taylor only a little bit behind him at plus 1,000 now, Amber. So we've mentioned it's a quarterback award, like it's going out of style. I think Jonathan Taylor is starting to eclipse some real wild rushing numbers that could have him in the top three on the medal stand before it's all said and done. But Aaron Rodgers getting ready to pass Brett Favre for the Packers' lead in throwing touchdowns seems like it's setting up for a big-time narrative push for him down the stretch.
Right. Well, it's a nice story, of course, particularly a nice one for that franchise, and that definitely helps, I would imagine. When you discuss an MVP award, you always want the feel-good stories. There hasn't necessarily been the feel-good stories around Aaron Rodgers this season. They are playing out, though, on the football field, and obviously that Packers team, you can make an argument for them being the best team in the NFL. I'm not a numbers person. I'm really bad at math. I rely on our daily wager guys when it comes to this betting stuff and expertise. I am surprised with my lack of knowledge here, though, but I am surprised that the numbers changed, the odds changed this dramatically, because Brady had this thing in the bag just a week ago. And now, like you said, Aaron Rodgers pulls ahead here quite handedly off of one game. Nevertheless, what the Packers have been doing, obviously very impressive and very winnable here on the way out. And these next three games, I think, are what is going to matter here between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I know Mahomes is on this list. I know Taylor. We talked about it earlier in the show. That's who I'd give it to. But it feels like to me that at this point, it's becoming kind of a two-horse race. And both of these teams, actually, in the Bucs and the Packers, have very winnable schedules here down the stretch. The Packers see the Browns, the Vikings, and Lions. And the Bucs see the Jets and the Panthers. So both of them could be doing pretty remarkable stuff here down the stretch, although the Bucs, they've got some serious injuries at wideout.
Cain Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I think part of it certainly comes from that, Amber. We saw Tom Brady down some of his best weapons this weekend, and the performance slipped. They get shut out. Tom Brady gets shut out for the first time since 2006, just the third time in his career. Aaron Rodgers has made it work behind a patchwork offensive line all year. We saw the way that team struggled when Jordan Love had to go in when Aaron Rodgers was out with COVID. And so I think those things kind of pop up into the way that people evaluate this, because we've got so few concrete ways to try and administer who the most valuable is for any given team.
Right, but that narrative could completely change next week. I understand. Like, with the injury to Chris Godwin, obviously I am concerned there about Brady's weapons. It seemed weird that they seemed off him and Gronk. Like, the chemistry was not there, and he needed to rely on Gronk in that game, obviously losing Fournette, losing Godwin, everybody going down. But AB will be coming back. Brady and Gronk, I'm sure, will figure it out. I do think that there's an opportunity here still for Tom Brady to take this race back.
Yeah, there's certainly going to be a chance here. But Amber, we also know how this works, because you've mentioned some of the narrative things around this. I think also the way we respond to primetime matchups, where everyone gets to sit, watch one particular team, watch one particular player. Tom Brady and the Bucs, I don't believe, have a primetime matchup left so far this season. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers play the Vikings Sunday Night Football on January 2nd. You're going to have the eyes of the world on you late in the season with the way that he's been trending right now. That seems like a pretty solid spot where he could potentially punctuate this MVP candidacy. Try and see if he can make it back-to-back. You could get Aaron Rodgers at plus 2,000 a couple of months ago in some places. And now Aaron Rodgers, your front runner, the new favorite according to Caesars this afternoon to win the NFL MVP again. Rodgers at number one, Brady behind him, followed by Patrick Mahomes and Jonathan Taylor. So going to be a lot of pressure, going to be a lot of eyes on that race coming down the season. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And coming up next, we'll take a look even further, because those quarterbacks might be under some pressure, but let's take a look at the quarterbacks playing tonight and try and see if one guy can get the primetime monkey off his back next.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.